Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Fightin' Words on the Fightin' Words News Network. Fightin' Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. We just want to let everybody know that our sponsor, Dr. Kathleen Carroll, has retired from private practice, and we thank her for 10 years of sponsoring this show. Dr. Carroll has decided that it's time to spend more time with her sons than it was to be in practice. So we wish her the very, very best. Well, guys, we had a Philadelphia boy really take it on the chin, so to speak, and in life. Jesse Hart fell to Joe Smith last Saturday night at, down at Atlantic City. What do you think about that, Z?
First of all, I want to say I'm glad to be back and want to wish everyone a happy new year, and wish Miss Kathleen Carroll a wonderful retirement. Now, about Jesse Hart. He fought Joe Smith, and it was a pretty good fight. Jesse, he didn't look sharp, for one thing. Offensively, he only really had his jab and some rounds, maybe a few uppercuts. But he really didn't look sharp or consistent. And his feet didn't really look like they could get away like that, to be honest. He couldn't steer Joe Smith anywhere with his feet for the most part. Jesse looked strong. He looked strong, and he looked stronger than Joe to me. Jesse tried to hold a lot, and he lost. And he lost a decision, if I'm correct. I saw the. I didn't see the last round. I did see the toward the end of the last round, but and it was kind of, it was easy to tell. One thing, Joe, and it's not as much. You know, I think it had a bit to do with Jesse not being sharp and in his mentality. He didn't go in there with a fighter's mentality. He went in there trying to box. And he didn't think, and he didn't really want the contact. It was a physicality difference. And as I was watching the fight, I thought about football teams. And with football teams, your successful football teams tend to do good in the trenches. And that's a physicality thing. The more physical teams usually win, or they usually have the upper hand. And that's what I saw. I saw, you know, Joe Smith, he's the lineman that's doing the pushing back. He's the guy who's embracing the contact. Where Jesse, he's really wilting. You see him wilting from the contact, shying away. Really, I'm not saying the guy has to sit there and take it, go toe-to-toe, but he did a little – he really, really showed that he didn't want the contact or didn't like the contact. And you're in a fight, so that goes along with scoring points and everything. With that said, Joe Smith looked good. Joe Smith, I saw some little more wrinkles, technical wrinkles. He moved his head a lot better. And Jesse couldn't do anything with Joe on the inside. Joe, he started employing some body to head shots, especially a few uppercuts coming from body shots. When Jesse tried to hold Joe, just started nailing him a few times early in the back of the head, but then to the body. And Joe, he really did good body work when he got to where he wanted to go. And he didn't break Jesse down. I think Jesse kind of came into the fight broken down, it just mentality wise, to where he's like, all right, I can outbox this guy, but I can't fight with him. And ultimately, you're in that ring, you're going to have to fight. I mean, that's a part of it. So, I mean, Jesse, he withstood and he survived to the decision, but Joe earned it. So, you know, all kudos to Joe.
Good. Chris, what do you think?
Well, Hart flat out lost the fight. He didn't try. I don't think it was his best effort. I don't think he wanted to win that bad the way he looked to me. He looked like he didn't even want to be there. Like just what Z said, he said something was lacking. Some game plan was bad. He just didn't look good to me. I've seen him when he looked better. But you got to put out a major effort to win today. You can't walk out there and do nothing and win a fight. I thought the decision wasn't strong enough the other way. I thought he lost bigger than what they announced, but it wasn't a good fight. It was not a good fight. I don't think he tried hard enough. He did nothing inside. Esposito said, did nothing. He flat out got beat, and it looks like he's ready to retire to me. Looks like that's his attitude. If that's the attitude he's going to have, he's not going to win any more fights. Because that guy was not a great opponent. He was a good opponent, but not a great one. For anybody else in the higher caliber, he probably knocked one out. But with the effort he put out. So, I didn't enjoy the fight. It wasn't that good to watch. I just didn't enjoy it. I'm looking forward to that super middleweight, not super middleweight, but the junior middleweight fight. The boy from Philly against the
Jimmy Williams.
The guy that, Williams, yeah. I'm looking forward to that fight. That boy from Philly can fight, and he's an infighter. And his hands are close together. He beats you to the punch every time because Hurd was going too wide. His punches were coming from right field and left field. Mm-hmm. And and he was just standing inside, pop, 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 landing every damn shot he wanted to throw. It was a beautiful beautiful boxing, on the inside. He wasn't going away, I thought. I enjoyed the fight, though. The guy's a lot better than I thought he was. I never really seen him much coming up. But Philadelphia fighters, they're trained very well. They got a lot of great, like I said before, they got great trainers in the city. And if a guy's willing to fight, there's somebody there that can teach you what you need to know. And he's one of them, that guy. And I think he's going to continue on going to be hard to beat. I'm looking forward to seeing him fight one of the Charlo brothers. That's down the road. Probably the smaller one.
Yeah, he fought the bigger one already.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What did he do against him?
That's the only loss on Julian's record. Julian got knocked out, I think maybe like in the fifth or seventh, something like that. He was looking pretty good. And he just kind of ducked into an uppercut. He ducked down and Charlo read it real good. And he caught him with an uppercut that hurt Julian. And Julian wasn't really good. Charlo finished him. But, Julian, he looked good until he got caught.
Yeah. Well, the bigger Charlo, he's a good puncher.
Yeah.
And he's in well conditioned all the time. He's in there to knock your head off. You know, every round of 10 or 12, he's going to try to knock your head off. And no disgrace to lose to him, the middleweight champ, yeah. No disgrace to lose to him, but I think he's in a better spot now where he belongs, 54. He's not big enough for a good-sized, powerful middleweight. Didn't surprise me. I didn't see that other fight. I didn't know Charlo, the biggest Charlo. Jermall and Jermall. Jermall's a bigger one.
I think
right?
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Jermall's the smaller one. Yeah.
Yeah, Jermall and Jermall. Yeah.
They are twins.
Another one.
If you don't look closely, if you look real quick, they both look like one, but they are. You can see them apart. You can see, if you look. One's a bigger body than the other, has a bigger upper body.
Yeah.
Stronger.
Well, another fight that's coming up, and shortly it'll be the May 5th, is Lomachenko versus Tio Lopez. What's your thoughts on that one, Chris?
Lopez?
Yeah.
That's not the one that fought recently. The young guy or?
Yeah.
He's a young guy. Yeah.
The young guy that just scored a knockout in the first round or second round? Is that who that is?
No.
The kid from Puerto Rico. That's not. There's so many Lopez's and so forth. I get them mixed up. But I don't know a hell of a lot of. I don't know a hell of a lot about his opponent. But that kid's going to. He's got some big paydays coming his way. That young guy that knocked out. That one shot he hit that guy with. He's a tough little guy. And he's big shouldered. He's not going to go down in weight. He's going to go up in weight. He's going to be fighting someday at welterweight someday. He's not going to be at 140 or 135 very long. He's too damn big. So, but everybody wants to fight Lomachenko. They think they're going to make a big payday, you know? I guess they are. They get one big fight and we're ready for Lomachenko. I think they better sit back and look a little bit. That kid's still a great, great boxer. And a great body puncher, too.
Z, what do you think?
He's not fighting Teofimo Lopez, right?
Yeah, he is.
That is a young boy. That's who you're talking about. Teofimo Lopez.
Right.
That's who you're talking about, Dr. Chris. He is fighting Lomachenko there.
Okay.
Lopez isn't ready. He can hit hard. He can hit hard. He has good fighting instincts. Not, you know, defensive instincts necessarily, but he knows how to get your hurt shots off. He's too easy to hit. He's too easy to hit. And I have a question about his conditioning when you're dealing with a guy like Lomachenko who could be active doing what he's doing, fainting, his footwork, it's throwing punches from different angles, different timing. He's going to do that for 15 rounds, let alone, you know, 12. Lomachenko is a superbly conditioned athlete, one of the better conditioned fighters. So, I mean, and that has a lot to do with his demeanor. He's calm. He doesn't panic. You know, he's been knocked down before. He's been under heavy pressure, you know, in his first title fight, which was like his fourth professional fight against Salida. So, I mean, he's a guy who's not going to – he's not going to crack. You're not going to break him. And he's shown that he's pretty tough. You're not going to one-punch him. He's also shown that he's highly adaptable. He can figure you out, and he can get his kill shot off. I thought Lomachenko in his last fight against, was it Luke Campbell? I thought that was a draw. I honestly thought that was a draw. But whatever said, Lopez, he's just not ready. He's too green. He's too green, and I mean, he's a guy who's going to plant heavy on that front foot to get at Lomachenko. And that's just a recipe for Lomachenko just to steer him right all night long. Or maybe not all night, but just because, I mean, he's not ready for that level, I don't think. Now, anything can happen. I mean, he could go in there and but I don't favor Lopez at all, not at this point. He's never seen anything near this. I mean, a lot of fighters haven't, who are experienced, but they've also seen a lot more than Lopez. They have a lot in their mental reservoir to go to. Lopez right now, he still needs, I think, to go through some things before, you know, even seeing a guy like Lomachenko.
Yeah. Possibly, if it's the same guy I got in my – that fought about a month ago, scored an early knockout with one punch against what was that guy's name? Anyway, if that's the fighter, why would you want to risk your career so early? You got a great future ahead of you. You know, don't run in there and jump at the best the first damn time you win a fight. You know, I don't agree with his manager putting him in there if I'm correct on his opponent. I mean, there were several guys around Philly that did that over and over again. Rush their fighters and get them knocked off too early, and then they're never the same after that. One was Lenny Matthews. You remember Lenny Matthews? He fought way back. Lenny, he was a highly ranked, right out of Philadelphia amateurs. Didn't have that many pro fights. And they threw him in with a real brutal body puncher who destroyed him. Hit him with 40 straight shots. He was sitting on the ropes. The ref couldn't see that he was trying to fall down, but he was sitting on the ropes. And he got crucified. And he was never the same after that. That was at the arena in Philadelphia I saw that fight. And then Lenny was never the same after that. So, I just don't like to see a guy rush. You really got to take your time in that game. You're so close, but yet so far, you know. So, you know, these guys fight 12, 13 times. They think they're ready for a championship fight. That's not correct. Lomachenko was a rare exception to the rule, you know, fighting for a championship so damn soon. Even I don't care amateur fights. How many amateur fights you have? They're not like pro fights. Pro fights. They're just, they're totally different. They add a lot to your resume, so to speak. But the pro game is different. And I think this kid's rushing it. Like I say, I wouldn't make the match if I was his manager. Going to be fighting for a while. Turn around, make a few easy dollars first. Got to go fight a killer for her. Somebody's can make you look like a fool, you know? Well, we'll see. I've been wrong before, guys.
Yeah.
We'll see.
See, let me ask you. Terrence Crawford is looking for a fight now, and he says he wants either Spence or Pacquiao. Now, that may crowd Pacquiao's card because two other people want to fight him, as well as Conor McGregor, which I think that's a joke right there. But like Chris said last week, I can't believe what they're paying the MMA fighters at this point in time. Even Bob was thinking about going back in after he found out they're paying millions.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. So what do you think, who would be a good opponent for Crawford, and who do you think will accept it?
Well, the highest – Crawford right now, he's in the stable, he's proven to be a high-level welterweight. So I would like to see him against a high-level welterweight of his kind. Problem is, the two guys he called out, it's not, it's highly likely not going to happen soon. And we're going to have the Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao debacle all over again. Same camps. Except for Pacquiao's on the reverse side of this one. That's more or less what we're going to have. The only way that these fights will come off, either Spencer Crawford or Pacquiao and Crawford, is if Crawford really, really puts pressure on Bob Arum to make those fights.
Mm-hmm.
If he puts pressure, listen, I'm not going to fight this. I need to fight these guys. Problem is, he's dealing with the best. He's dealing with the best. So he can put as much pressure on Bob Arum as he wants. If he signed his name on that paper, Bob Arum's going to do what Bob Arum's going to do.
That's right.
So as I said, it's not and then also you have to deal with Al Haymon because they worked recently. What fight did they just work on recently? They just worked on the Joshua Ruiz fight. So they will, like, Al Haymon and Bob Arum will work together. Their camps will work together for certain amounts of money. Ruiz is a top heavyweight in Al Haymon's camp, in the PBC camp. So he's, don't mind putting him out there, to be honest. Now, as far as other guys, that's a little different. With Crawford, he is the A1 attraction that Bob Arum has now. He's the new Pacquiao. So, and we already saw Pacquiao, who generated much more money than Terrence Crawford. He didn't get to call the shots. Him and Arum, that was a lot of their problem and part of their split was because Pacquiao didn't have a whole lot of set in a lot of things, including his money. So, that's the thing. Bob Arum is going to run the ship the way Bob Arum is going to run it. And he's going to try. That's more or less going to be maximum, earning potential instead of going for the big fight. He's going to try to max it out and then go for the big fight later on down the road. So who knows when we're going to see Crawford and Spence. And Crawford and Pacquiao.
What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think that, everybody wants to fight Pacquiao for the money. Because they know it's a big money day. And he's not a devastating puncher. Where Crawford... Right. Crawford could fight anybody. He is a superb boxer puncher. He can do it all. I'd like to see him in there with Keith Thurman. Keith's going to have to fight his way back into the limelight again. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see somebody of that caliber. Even Porter, a Mauler, who would give Crawford a hell of a fight because he comes in there swinging like hell. But there's plenty of competition for Crawford. But there's only one Pacquiao. How many guys can he fight? Everybody wants to fight him. But they got some good fights that they could have. at 147. I just think that Pacquiao's getting too old. One of these days, his bubble's going to burst. He's been around a long time. I was shocked at how fast his hands were against Keith. When he dumped Keith early in that fight, that shocked me. I was surprised. And the way he did it, you know, he outsmarted Keith and dropped him right on his pants. I was surprised at Pacquiao. As a matter of fact, he took all of Keith's best shots. Keith hit him solid a lot of times, and this didn't have any effect on Pacquiao. Surprised the hell out of me that he could take a punch at will. But he won the fight. There's no question he won. He did beat Keith. And, I don't know. With Crawford, I think Crawford's maybe the pound for pound. I still think he's probably the best out there. And I'd like to see him fight one of the bigger, stronger welterweights. And let Pacquiao, he's got one or two more fights left in him. And then there's plenty of big paydays for Crawford. He draws great out in Nebraska when he fights out there. And Texas, he draws great. He can make plenty of money. He doesn't have to fight Pacquiao. You know, I don't think Pacquiao would sign to fight him. It wouldn't be a smart move on his part. You know, like you say, Aram's maybe the toughest guy in boxing to deal with. He is notorious for wanting all the odds in his favor. Everything. He's not a nice man. He's a tough businessman. I don't think the fight will ever come off.
It's funny you talked about Keith, Chris, because I talked to him on Wednesday up at the gym, and he was telling me that they're trying to get a rematch with Manny. I don't know why Manny would want to go into another fight with him. But Keith's got something he's got to try and get back.
He's got to get back in the limelight. And I don't think Pacquiao's going to fight him again. I don't think that's Pacquiao's biggest draw.
Yeah.
I think there's bigger draws out there, you know, bigger paydays than fighting Keith again. So,
hey, guys, we have somebody else who can answer that. We have a good friend of ours and a good friend of the programs, a sports writer, Hall of Famer, and just an all-around great guy. Mr. Bernard Fernandez. Bernard, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good, Frank. Well, other than the fact that I'm a little under the weather to the point that I'm not at the Leocora Center tonight for the J-Rock fight. I didn't want to go there and be Typhoid Mary and have anybody catch what I'm just getting over.
Uh-huh. How do you think that one's going to end up?
Well, and it's being billed as J-Rock's homecoming, and, you know, and he takes great pride in being a Philadelphia fighter, and justifiably so. But it's been, I think, 7 years, you know, since he's fought in Philadelphia. Unfortunately, Philadelphia has become a place where great fighters are from, not necessarily where they still perform. And, you know, the Leocora Center is right down the street from the Blue Horizon, which, of course, you know, is not the Blue Horizon anymore. You know, there's no saying the more things change, the more they stay the same, or whatever. It's the same thing. You know, like tradition is something that's a moving target. It's like an amoeba, and does not stay the same. Still have great fighters coming out of Philadelphia. They just don't fight here very often.
Right. But let me ask you, Joseph Parker has been calling out Alexander Usyk. If that was to happen, what's your thoughts on that one?
I think it's an attractive matchup. Joseph Parker, if we go back a few years, not that many years either, you know, I mean, he was being discussed in pretty much the same manner as Anthony Joshua. You know, those were the two guys who were going to be the it guys. And it didn't quite work out that way for Joseph Parker. But, you know, he did have the first win over Andy Ruiz. And Yeah, being from New Zealand, he's not exactly from the neighborhood. But it wouldn't be that difficult to relocate him, like David Tua did, to come to America on a fairly regular basis. Usyk was the Ring Magazine and Boxing Writers Association America Fighter of the Year for 2018. And, you know, he's a guy, you know, a bulked up cruiserweight, true, but then so was Evander Holyfield, you know, and look what he went on to become. I think it's a fight that, you know, the winner takes a big step forward, and the loser is not necessarily irreparably damaged. You know, I think it's a worthwhile fight. You know, if you take a look at what's out there, you know, they got a big four, a big five, and after that, you know, there's a bunch of guys that could step up to the top level. Certainly, the winner of that fight could. You know, it's a fight I would look forward to. I know they're talking about it, and I hope it gets made.
Mm-hmm. Good. Hey, Z, what do you think? We got in a couple of weeks. We've got the Dillon White. I'm sorry, the Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury fight. How do you see that coming out?
We'll go quicker. I'm sorry, I don't want to jump ahead.
Yeah, we're going to do round table on this one.
All right. Well, as far as Deontay and Tyson, one thing I said going into the first fight was, man, Tyson Fury, he came off a 2-year layoff. He fought two guys who weren't the most highly, you know, who wasn't the most highly competitive guys. And you know, I don't know about seeing Deontay, right now, at this point. I walked away from that first fight and said, Deontay doesn't need to sign to fight Tyson again. And simple as this. Tyson, if he's that sharp, being off that long and not really having that level of competition, imagine now that he's, you know, he's first of all, he saw Deontay already, and he's also back into it. He's back into the game. You can see his body. You can kind of see his demeanor. What I will say is this. Tyson is a guy that, He adjusts well. He's a highly adjustable fighter. We saw him in the last fight when he got cut, and he started bringing it to the guy. Started putting the 6'9", 260 plus frame on him. So I mean, Tyson Fury, he's a guy who could kind of do it all. Only thing I think he cannot do again is get up. He doesn't need to get hit by Deontay again. That is probably the hardest thing to do. I mean, out for 12 rounds, and I thought he was doing pretty good until he got caught in the 12th round of the last fight. So that just goes to show you Deontay's dangerous from the first ding-ding to the last ding-ding. I mean, and that's a hard thing to do against a guy that's athletic, that fast, twitch, and who's that crafty. Deontay's not technical. He's not a guy who's, look at his fundamentals. You could say that guy is super duper crafty. He knows how to use what he has. So I mean, and that's hard to deal with. It's a toss up to me. If it goes decision, Tyson Fury won. If somebody got knocked out, I know Tyson Fury did.
What do you think, Bernard?
Well, if the fight goes 12 rounds, unquestionably, I think that Tyson Fury wins a decision fight. But one of the things that's been floated around a lot lately is how much in the conversation does Deontay Wilder rate among the hardest hitting heavyweights of all time? Well, you've got Ernie Shavers, you've got Joe Lewis, you've got Sonny Liston, you've got Mike Tyson. You know, there's four or five, six guys that figure in there. And I think at this particular point in time, when you look at his knockout percentage, admittedly he hasn't always fought, you know, tier one opposition. But the fact of the matter is, the last two fights that he had, he connects with the right hand. And he's not a two-handed puncher either. I mean, he uses the jab basically as a rangefinder, and he's uncorking the right hand, and he keeps throwing it. And sometime within the 12 rounds, it lands, and then it's all over. I mean, you know, Ortiz and Dominic Brazil. I mean,
Brazil.
It landed and you know, it was the same thing as hitting them on the head with a sledgehammer, you know, and they went down and that was basically was it. And so I don't know. I mean, I think I've seen some stuff from him, you know, that recently, as far as like, well, no, he's not polished. He's not as crafty a boxer as Fury. Yeah, all said and good. But I think in the last fight or two, you know, I've seen him actually setting some traps to land that right hand. Before, he just went in there winging, and now it looks like he has a little bit of a plan. I mean, he's got good people that he works with in the corner, you know. So I don't think he's a totally unpolished, you know, fighter, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And he's got the equalizer, you know, and that's one thing. If you're 24 points behind in a basketball or football game with a minute to go, you're not going to win. Up until the last second of the last round, if he lands that big shot, it's over, you know, and that's why I think until I've seen something different from him, if push comes to shove, I think we have to pick him by, you know, inside the distance, because that's what he does.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what's your thoughts?
Well, both of you are right. It works out this way. Tyson Fury can take Wilder's punch. He's proven that. And he definitely can outbox him. I don't think Wilder worries any bit about where he is in a fight. If it's eight rounds and he's eight down, that don't bother him at all. He figures he's going to land that big right hand. So he's easy to outbox. But, you know, you got to be able to take his shot. Now, Fury did it a couple of times, but, you know, that's not always the healthiest damn thing to do. You know? I mean, the guy can punch. So that's what it works out. It's hard to predict. You know, is he going to land that right hand? Or is he not going to land that right hand? If he doesn't, he loses. If he does, he could knock out Fury. But Fury, if it's late in the fight and Fury gets up and recovers, usually he's so damn far ahead on points that Deontay could lose a decision to him. Deontay doesn't fight all 10 rounds to box. I mean, all 12 rounds to box. He just thinks, I'll get him 6th round, 7th round, 8th round. I'm going to knock him out before the damn 12 rounds is over, so I'm not going to worry about where I'm at. Hell, I've seen him lose 5-6 rounds in a row against mediocre competition. And he doesn't care because he knows he's going to get that one big shot in. And that's what it all boils down to. If he lands, he can knock out Fury. If he doesn't, he can lose the decision to him. So it's hard as hell to predict what's going to happen. I don't think. And by the way, didn't Tyson Fury come in with a new trainer? Somebody said he got a new trainer and he loves
Sugar
the guy. And they're working. He's working working hard with him. And he looks pretty good. His weight's good. He's not fat anymore. He's got a little fat around the back there, lower back area, but he looks in, you know, in decent condition. And I don't think you're going to see him come in the ring anymore like a big marshmallow like he did, you know, years back. So I think it's the makings of a hell of a fight. It's a boxer against a puncher, you know, which has been around for 100 years. And then it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, Wilder landed, if he does, it might be over quick. Because he damn near knocked him out that one time. He had him flat on his back. But Fury looked like he was taking a nap. Well, I'll wake up about 8 and jump up. Well, what the hell is he doing out there jumping up like that? That's not healthy. You know, come to one knee. Don't make that mistake. You know, get up. And he did hold on. So it's going to be a good fight. I don't think anybody – I wouldn't want to bet a lot of money on it. I don't know. I don't really know what's going to happen at the end of 12 rounds of that fight, you know, which way it's going to go. I mean, you can predict all you want, but if he does hit him with that damn right hand, he's going to drop him. And then it depends on how good he catches him. A glancing blow. One of those last punches that he hit him with was glancing. Didn't catch him flush on the side of the head. Maybe this time it'll catch him flush and he won't get up so quick. So it'll be a great fight to watch. Good, you know, pay-per-view will do all right with it. And
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Bernard, another one that is still in the making is Dillian Whyte for April 18th, either against Povetkin, Ruiz, or Wallen. Of the three, which would give him the best fight?
Well, it would depend, I think, largely upon how much of Povetkin is still there at 40. Is
mm-hmm.
he 40? Has he turned 41 yet? I don't know. Dillian Whyte, you know, when I was mentioning the next tier,
mm-hmm.
he's a guy to me that is kicking at the door of the top tier
mm-hmm.
because he's got a very good case for being
mm-hmm.
dodged and overlooked. Yes,
mm-hmm.
He did have the one fight with AJ, you know, and that theoretically could have gone the other way. But I think he's got an argument, you know, that all these big fights they're talking about, he ought to be in the mix. And I think
mm-hmm.
he ought to, you know, because
mm-hmm.
at some point, you know, he's not a kid anymore either, you know, that
mm-hmm.
he deserves a shot. I mean, Luis Ortiz, you know, was one of those guys. He was the boogeyman. He was the gatekeeper, you know, and he was the you know, well, you know, he's had a couple of shots now at Deontay Wilder. Well, I think
mm-hmm.
the new Luis Ortiz is Dillian Whyte. You know, he needs to get that kind of opportunity. I think that's the only fair
mm-hmm.
thing to do. I mean, if we're being totally honest.
Mm-hmm.
Dillian Whyte is the guy who, and you can see after the AJ fight, he's a guy you can see kind of why guys duck him. He's sort of the North Paul Marvin Hagler to me, to where you actually see his increments of improvement from fight to fight, from high level to high level. So, I mean, the guy, first of all, he's a tough guy, and he gave AJ hell. AJ won one, but he gave AJ hell. But then you see his progression. You see his fight against Jasur. You saw his fight against Parker. You start seeing things, and you're saying, darn, every fight I see, this guy's improving. He's getting better. You know, he's doing things, you know, subtle things that is making him a lot more effective. So, I mean, and Dillian Whyte has been calling guys out. The problem is he's with Eddie Hearn, if I'm correct. He's still with Eddie Hearn. And he's not going to get any of Eddie's guys like that. He's not going to get that fight with AJ like that. Eddie's scared that Dillian's going to have the title. AJ's the golden goose. So, you know, you're not going to sacrifice that twice. Against Deontay, maybe we'll see. But Deontay is their business dealings as far as that camp and Eddie Hearn. They still what and what. So I mean, it's a lot of things as far as you know, Dillian getting his shot right now. He's being dropped by maybe not the fighters as much as you know the management of fighting.
Great, Chris.
Well, I think White's got a great chance if he would to beat Ruiz. Somebody's got to hide all the enchiladas in Mexico so he doesn't eat them. You know, if they could do that and get him in shape, he'd be a good opponent. But he's not going to. He's one of those guys. Never in his life will he be skinny and in shape. He just doesn't think he has to be that. That's my opinion of him. I think he's exciting. I like to watch him myself. But you got to get in shape and put more effort into it. But I think Mike can outpoint him. He's like I say, he's a tough guy. He's coming on. He's learning all the right things. He's getting, you know, he's putting himself into position. And I think he could beat the Ruiz. Give anybody a hard time. And you know, he's not one of them up and down guys. He's not crazy like Ruiz. You know, going to come in with a drum about a 60-inch waist. You know, I don't care how Ruiz laughs about it. It's a detriment that extra weight. You know,
sure.
A short man with short arms fighting a big moose like the Englishman, that guy's big, cut, in shape, you know, and he got wrapped pretty good. He wrapped Ruiz pretty good. He can take a good shot. But I think that would be a good – any match of those top six or seven heavyweights would be good for each other. To see who could outbox Ruiz. You're not going to get a boxing decision over you. Just like Wilder. Wilder's not going to win any boxing decisions. He's going to win on knockouts. Same with Ruiz. So if you could stay away from him and not box him, it'd be easy to beat. But then again, you know, if you get caught, look out. You know, same thing, same kind of fight. So be interesting to see. What did he weigh in against Joshua? What was his weight?
283, if I'm correct.
283.7 or something?
Yeah.
Was he that fat?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't realize that's fatter than before.
The first fight, he was 263.
He came in 50 pounds heavier than he did for the first fight with AJ.
Oh, my God, that's terrible. That's terrible. You can't tell. 20 pounds on him, you don't notice it. You know, you don't notice if he's bigger. But he looked awful fat to me when I saw him at the weigh-in and all that. What a boy. Oh, boy.
Fight.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's a tough one.
Bernard, what do you think about Daniel Dubois and Joe Joyce on the 18th of April?
It was interesting because, you know, like who are the guys below the Tier 2 guys that could become Tier 2 guys or Tier 1 guys? And I had done a story, a few months ago, where I mentioned some of these young fighters who have not yet entered the conversation as, contenders sooner rather than later. And a Jagby guy was one, and Joe Joyce. Matter of fact, I had a couple of people say that maybe the fight that we will all be looking at, you know, a year and a half, 2 years down the road, might be Joyce and Jagby. You know, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that as well as I should be, but you know, but then Dubois certainly is a nice looking prospect. But this is another one of these fights that once upon a time didn't get made at this stage of the game. You know, we had entered a period where promoters and television entities were hesitant to put a 15-0, 18-0, 20-0 fighter in with anybody that you know had any kind of chance at all at beating them. You know, they would get up to 21-22-0. And then they'd throw them in over their heads, you know, because they had not fought anybody that really had tested them. This is a fight where these guys are going to be tested. We're going to find out a little bit about each one of them, you know, and see if they've got the goods to take the next step forward. That's another fight that I'm interested in because it has implications for the future.
Good. Hey, Z, I want to ask you, since Bob's not here to do an MMA, tonight we got Conor McGregor versus Cowboy Danny Cerrone. What's your thoughts on that one? Can he take him?
If Conor's not sharp, if Conor is not sharp, Cowboy is Donald Cerrone is a good fighter. Is a good MMA fighter. Good all around MMA. Very, very good kickboxing, Muay Thai background. And he has some wins by submission. Pretty good grappling. Connor's explosive. I mean, from what we saw, Connor, he's explosive and he's a hands guy. Don't know how sharp Connor is at this point. Still, he's been teeter tottering. You know, as far as the fight game, I don't want to say MMA. The fight game is concerned. He's been teeter-tottering what he's going to do. So he doesn't really seem committed to anything but, the big pot financial payday. Don't know if you want to come into a fight with a guy like Cowboy with that kind of focus. You know, man, who knows, you know, Conor, he could totally be keened in, tuned in on his fight. But, I mean, Cowboy, after this fight, you know, before this fight, he's thinking about MMA, thinking about his opponent, thinking, you know, totally squared up on that. After this fight, that's what he's going to be doing. Conor, you know, I don't know. Conor, physically, he's a talent. But, I mean, as far as MMA, yeah, Conor's a stand-up guy. Cowboy's a dangerous guy to stand up with. He's a dangerous guy to stand up with. So, I mean, what I can see is I can see Conor just being a little too quick on the draw for Cowboy, a little too, you know, herky-jerky with his timing. The Cowboy's just getting, you know, finding himself having to react and everything. But it's not going to be a takedown fight. It's not going to be a whole, you know, from what I, well, no. You're dealing with Conor and Cowboy for the most part. It's going to be a stand-up fight.
Sure.
So, I mean.
You don't think they'd be an offer?
I might have to pick Cowboy.
Well, you know, that's pretty much what everybody was saying about Cowboy, that picking Cowboy for this. My thought was Conor's been off, and, you know, other than his legal troubles that he's gotten himself into, he hasn't been doing a whole lot for the last year and a half. And, you know, this, I don't think I would pick this guy as my comeback fight. No way.
No.
Yeah. What do you think, Bernard?
Well, Conor's been bordering on being a legitimate head case. I mean, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, he's fun to watch. But that whole four-city press tour before the you know, dog and pony show with Floyd, I found a little unseemly. You know what I mean? It's like he's an MMA version of a lot of people in boxing, but maybe one that he's too much a version of is Andre Berto, you know, understand that, you know, that I understand that helps sell his fight with Mayweather. It sells a lot of his fights, you know, because he's like this deranged, out of control madman. And I think the problem is how legitimate is that? Because if it is, for me personally, it's really hard to want to see him stay on top because, I don't know. That's not the type of role model I'd want, you know, my children or my grandchildren, you know, wanting to idolize.
Good. Chris,
I mean, that's just me. I mean, I understand there's a lot of people that look at it another way.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
I'll tell you one thing. He's an ultimate entertainer, that guy, McGregor. He's got all the NFL guys walking like him, trying to imitate his walk. They had him on tonight. It was hysterical. It was a riot. You know how he swings his arm out? And big fat linemen, 280, 90 pounds for him. They were doing a hell of a job imitating him. It was very comical. So he's caught on. He's caught on. He's going to have nothing but big paydays. You know, he's a showman. And I don't think he's worried about being anything else but. I think if Cerrone gets him on the floor, he's going to win. He's got to get him down. He can't, you know, stand-up fight, McGregor has a much, much better chance. But Cerrone would love to get him on the floor, and he could, and that's where McGregor doesn't want to be. But he is entertaining and funny. And if you saw this, the skit today, they had about 10 NFL guys imitating him. It was hysterical. and they did it. I mean, beautifully. They had it down pat, that walk. Christ, I was laughing. It was only on for a few seconds. But he's caught on. He's caught on. He's got the public's eye. Public's eye. You know, he's got their eye. He's a showman. He doesn't want to fight for nothing. He wants to fight for big money. And he's going to get big money because he's a showman. And you know, how can you say anything bad about him? He makes the show. He makes the show. And like you say, he got limited ability, but he's a top showman. So
yeah, I don't disagree with that. But he may be like one step, two steps from crossing over into Ibeabuchi territory, in which case he won't be a showman if he's incarcerated.
It's going to be interesting to watch his career. Let's put it that way. I'm going to watch the fight tonight. I'll watch it. It's freezing cold up here in the snow. Oh. Yeah, what the hell? He puts on a good show. I'll watch both fights tonight. That other one's on tonight, too. Isn't that the 154 title shot on tonight?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'll watch that, too. So it'll be. But like I say, the guy knows how to make money. He's going to irritate a lot of people, but he's going to walk home. He's going to be like Liberace, laugh all the way to the bank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a guy like that every once in a while to put some color back into the game. Sure in hell won't hurt. So that's my opinion. I don't know who the hell's going to win that fight.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, it's going to be entertaining one way or the other. So we'll see what happens.
The last one I've got for us is Adam Konecki and Robert Hellenius are set for 3-7 on Fox. Fox is bringing back live fights again. Bernard, what's your thoughts on that one?
Konecki's one of those guys that every time I watch him, I say, well, his body lacks definition. He doesn't move that smoothly. I'm picking up all the little things that I don't like about him, and then he winds up knocking the guy out. I'm not saying he has Deontay Wilder power, but he does have power, and he's entertaining, and you know he's a guy that if you put him up in the Barclays Center, he's going to fill if he doesn't fill it up, he's going to come pretty close to filling it up because there's a ready-made fan base there, and we've seen, that with the Klitschko's, some of these guys come over, they're Eastern European, they wouldn't seem to have that much of a rooting interest, but they have developed that. And I think what the sport needs, along with guys who are talented and skilled, are people. And we just talked about that with Conor McGregor and MMA. I think he tap stance to me a little bit too closely on the wrong side of entertaining and just being totally obnoxious. But I think Konecki's the same type of fighter, but in a good way. It's easy to like him, does that translate into him, stepping up to, top contender level? I don't know. But I wouldn't mind if he did, because I think he's got something to offer.
Good. See?
I like Adam Konecki. I like him because he typifies boxing. He's a guy who's not fast. He's not the fastest guy, not the most powerful guy, not the most reactive guy. But he's so darn effective. If I had a word to say, he's effective. He minimizes movement for one thing. He's not a guy who's going to be on his toes dancing around, burning energy. He's also not a guy who's devoid of movement to where you're not just going to stare at Konecki all night. He's a guy who's for the most part, he's on the front foot, high guard, and he's trying to get close to you. And when he does so much good effective work on the inside. You don't see heavyweights as acute inside fighters as Konecki is, as far as throwing acute combinations, but hurtful cute combinations. You see that, more the middleweights, it stops a little bit when you get to the cruiserweights. The guys hit hard enough to where they don't need three or four punches all the time to do what they need to do at heavyweight. Konecki, he will work. He will work, and you look at him and you say, this guy can't throw punches for 12 rounds, and he does exactly that. He goes out and does exactly that. And he throws educated punches. And on, and with education on his distance, you know, he varies his punches up and he places them, he times them well. He's a guy who I love watching and you can learn from.
Okay, Chris?
I feel the same way. I like to watch him. He's very colorful. He doesn't waste energy. He doesn't waste energy because he's only got so much in the tank. He is overweight and big, and he's bigger than he looks. He's a lot taller than I thought he was. He's not a small man. And but he's a very effective, you know, jab right hand. He knows, you know, he's not Willie Pep, but he's entertaining as hell. You know, I like to see him fight. And I think he's going to beat a lot of guys. I think he's got a lot of, you know, he's going to be at that top level. He's going to move up into the top level this year. And I think you'll see him. He's going to get one of the big shots, you know, because he can take a punch. He doesn't cut easily. He doesn't mark easily. He can take a punch along with everything else. So, you know, that'll keep you in there for 12 rounds because you shot at it. And, but he's very entertaining. Again, we got more damn entertaining fighters out there than we ever had. Certainly a different group of physiques. You know, these guys are destroying the Men's Health magazine when you look at them. Jesus. You know? But it all makes for a show. It all makes for a show. It's very entertaining. And I like to see the guy fight. I like to see him do well. You know, because to me, he's very entertaining. So...
Great.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're right at the end of our hour. Bernard, I really appreciate you coming on. I know you weren't feeling too well earlier the week, and you sound much better than when I last talked to you, but we always appreciate your input on the show, and we're always you're always so graceful to give us the time that we really appreciate.
And you guys saved me from going out in the snow tonight to the Lake Forest Center.
It's cold too, man. I'm staying in. Yes. I'm not going out. I already have my giant bowl of soup, and I'm ready to relax, watch some good TV, and relax. Start again tomorrow. Go. Maybe it'll be a little warmer out. Be nicer.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you guys next week then.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right,
appreciate
guys.
It.
Take
it
care.
Easy,
good having you all back. Z? All right. See you.
Okay. All right. Z, you want to lead us out?
I sure do. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Bernard Fernandez. I want to thank Dr. Chris. I want to thank you, Butch, and all of my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Coach Mel and Bob. If anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Yeah, I want to say, again, I appreciate everything you do for the show each and every week, and the background you bring to the show is just immense. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please give them your time, a wink, a handshake, or anything. These are very tough times domestically and in foreign lands for those of us in uniform. These programs are dedicated to Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kolkap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, New Castle County Police, Patrolman Arnulfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longbrook Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrol and Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrol Officer Robert Jermaine, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Fikas, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FTLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department. Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department. Deputy Natalie Morales, Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department. Patrol Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Office. And Officer Robert McCutcheon, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department. My brothers and sisters, though, you may be 10-7 at this point in time, and sometime will be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and have a great week.
Shema Hezahilma Sona Shene Vorat Fet Hakuig Again Mahilma
Shema Hezahilma Shema Hezahilma Sona Shene
fiery blade engaged to lead, he'd break the bravest in the towers and strength and length of days.
Responded to his last emergency, the end of shift.
Thank you.
this year.